I lost my audience. It's okay. For that prop.
Oh.
It's okay. It's all right. It's cool. That's part of was part of my message. I was going to have them interact, but now I'm going to pick on all of you. So
don't ask us to memorize.
Amen, man. Amen. Look at Ryan. How you doing, Joey? Good to see everybody here. Man, I got to tell you something. Now you're here right now, and you're thinking, this is an escape route. Look at you. There's a few of you. But you know, my message is about. I won't give you the whole thing, but it's limitless. Now, what you witnessed up on that stage, I would. What's going to happen tonight? You're going to think this is called Tahoe Community Church Got Talent, because tonight this place is going to blow you away. So that's an invite to come back. All right? You know, one of the things I find is we have friends, family, and visitors. But one of the things I've learned is living in Tahoe and having a house here, been here about 50 years now, and I never have a shortage of guests coming up. I mean, people always come. My wife's a little frantic. You know, we're all a little anxious this time of year about different things in our life. I'm not the exception. We all have things that are a priority in our lives, but we find our real joy sharing with others. I said to my wife about our house in Tahoe, she said, how are we going to do this? There's 40 people coming in. I says, well, you know, maybe next year we move to Austin, Nevada. And I said, I can guarantee it will have less people come show up at our house. For those of you that don't know, that's in the center of Nevada. I think population is about 110, 112 people. And it's actually a county seat, which is even more amazing. You know, one of the things I always like to ask folks, and especially this time of year, Christmas, Easter, where we seem to swell a little more, is what's your resistance to coming to church? What's the number one thing you'd say? And I have lots of those. They'll get answers. But the number one is, I just can't handle organized religion. And you know what I say to them is, come and check us out, because you're going to see some real disorganized religion. So it's good to check us out. And what you're going to do, you're going to leave with a relationship. It's about a relationship. And it's not you and I. It's Christ stands alone. We got a gift, baby. We got a gift, baby. I like this. Merry Christmas. Jonathan.
Hey.
You're about one of the youngest kids. See, I was going to use the little kids, and then I realized I want you to come up here. Yeah. What do you mean? One of the bigger kids, Tim. Come on. Yeah, you. Jerry Klosterborn. Who else going to get up here? Get up here. This is a prop. This will go better tonight because I have little kids. These are little kids. Wow. Okay, I need one more little kid. Stevie, I wonder. You're scared to death right now. Come on. I'll let you get behind here and your knees won't shake. Nobody will see it. All right. Now, I want you all to turn this way, facing me, over here. Okay? Oh, man. This gift is awesome because we all need this gift. I look in the mirror, and I look for this gift every day. Okay. Wow.
Make sure you spell it right.
If I mess this one up, I'm in trouble. Wow. Okay. Now, turn around, face those people, our body there, and show the signs. Show it. Hope. And as I said, I titled the message Limitless Hope. It's awesome. It's a gift that we all need. And I originally had the kids, but when you think about where we are in the growth of Christ, we're all in a certain stage and we're all different. We're all his children. Does that make sense? We're all learning constantly. Okay, gentlemen, can everybody see that? Hope? Because that's going to be the theme. Look at that, huh? How are these kids doing? Okay, I'm going to relieve you back to your classes now. Okay, thank you very much. I think of Hebrews, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I got to tell you, We have witnesses of that all the time. We have things that we think about. And hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out on our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's given it to us. And sometimes when you think there's little hope, don't do it. Because this thing started in the beginning, and you're going to see things that are happening in our world globally that just, man, you're just kind of like, wow, what's the use? I had an experience, and I'm still having an experience, but the hope I had was whatever God wants for me, His will be done, whatever it might be. I finished 26 days of radiation every day. Now I'm on the other stuff. But what was unique on that last treatment, the very last treatment over in Truckee at the cancer center, my wife took me over early in the morning at 7:40, and we left our neighborhood and we got over there, and I knew it was last treatment. And I thought, wow, man, you know, this is pretty cool. Last time I'd be going into radiation. And I got to tell you, it didn't affect me that much, a little mentally. But I arrived to get my wristband put on and dressed for the radiation treatment. And the lady, Ashley, I says, are they ready for me? Can I go in early? And she says, yeah, just go back there now. And this is the radiation room. It's like a waiting room. There's a puzzle, and there's things you do. You're sanitized. When I walked in that room, all my neighbors were in there with balloons and whistles. You had those things they use on New Year's Eve. And I got to tell you, they expressed hope. And what was really unique, not one of them claim Christ and attend this church or any church. But it made me realize, it humbled me because the outreach is coming to me. I mean, I watch Bob and I stumble a lot on chairlift ministry, but the reality is the people are coming. These are all my neighbors, and not one of them believe. And you know, I say this in this morning message because you know what? They're all going to be here tonight. And I don't want it to be about me or Bob or any of us. We want to handle God's word and bring it home to him. Another unique deal, obviously Sue and I have been under, my wife and I have been under a lot of stress with traveling back and forth. It's about, it takes about 3.5 hours out of the day. And then the other day I was in the VA hospital and then they sent me back to Truckee. What was really unique, Sue and I were driving home, it's late at night, and they stopped us on the road. And they said, Jeff, you got family coming in. They were literally on our street. And they said, Jeff, you got your family coming. How many is it? And I told them probably about 40. And they said, 40 people. Those who've been to my house can see you could walk in the front door and be out the back real quick and nobody see you. But what was unique, they stopped Sue and I and they said, you have no hope that you're going to be ready for Christmas Eve with all these families showing up. And I said, no, I got hope. And they said, well, we're going to relieve some of that. They took everything out of my house, the food and everything, and moved it to their house. And they put a sign on my door, the Christmas Eve of Jeff's relatives is not going to be at his house. Steve, you've been there. You've seen what it looks like. We're just come over to our house, up the driveway. I mean, that's phenomenal when people step out. And now what you see is you'll get to meet these people. You'll notice it right away. And it's an outreach. It's a phenomenal outreach. And the hope is in the unseen. I mean, what's going to take place is just phenomenal. Okay. That's why I got the little hope deal. And I enjoy doing that. Anyway, I would like for us to pray. And when we pray, I want you to think about this hope. As I started this, I bowed my head, and I just thought, man, because of the birth and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our hope is alive. It's alive, folks. And it's getting that message to others That's what we're to do. Are we going to save anyone? No. All we're to do is give that message to let people know about Jesus Christ. And if you will, in a testimony, to let them know what he's done in your life. It's bits and pieces, and it's different for all of us. But we come together as a strong community of fellowship. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for those that are here with the ears to hear, Lord. Let us be accurate and loving with your word, Lord God, as we encounter. And everybody we encounter, Lord, it's not an accident. It's those that you put in front of us. And it'll be the same at this service and the evening service, Lord. And as we leave here, let the words reflect our attitude and where we are all through the week, Lord, all through this season. It's hectic. It creates a lot of anxiety. And we find ourselves becoming real short sometimes, and the focus becomes on us. But I can unequivocally tell anyone that as soon as you focus on your neighbor, whomever Jesus Christ puts in front of you, life's going to change. Thank you for this time we have together, Lord, in your name. Amen. Okay, why do we need Jesus? Christmas, Santa Claus, what created it? You know, Kevin and I are doing a thing tonight, and I think of a song. It's called the Santa Song. Santa Claus is coming to town tonight. You better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, he sees you when you're sleeping, and he sees you when you're awake, and he knows when you've been bad or good. So for goodness sake, we better be good. Now, what I find about that song is interesting. I used it for temporary assurance for about 2 days of the year I could get my girls under control, because their hope was under the tree in a gift. So that was assurance, a temporary little thing of life. You know what's funny? The other day I asked them, do you remember how you sneak around and look under the tree? Oh, Dad, we just had hope that what we saw at Target was going to be there. And I says, well, do you remember how that hope turned out? I can't remember what we got. You know, I said, I can, because every time I walk downstairs, I see the stuff still piled up. So I know what you got, but you forgot. So that's what happens. What's unique about that, you think about it. You'll pout and you will cry. You're going to have those ups and downs. And you got to know that Jesus Christ is in town. He knows your every move, what's going on. Trust me. He doesn't need a list. You know why he doesn't need a list? He came to wipe out the list. All your sins, transgressions, everything that lists, he knows. Every time we've been naughty, he knows. So he's handled it, man. It's so hard to explain that sometimes, but it's so easy for us to digest when we watch it work in our lives. You know, I've been, Casey reminded me, one of my daughters reminded me, he says, Dad, you used to pound that. You've gone as far as to put coal in their stockings. And I did. You know, so often we wake up and we don't realize what the goal is. I got to tell you, as I moved into chapter 70 in my life, and maybe chapter 80, eternity. Just start thinking about it. And you realize there's no pain you have that you can't handle, knowing what lies ahead in eternity with Jesus Christ. It's just amazing to me how it sets on my mind after you go through some of the things that I've been through. And it doesn't matter. Whatever we have in our lives is a priority to each of you. And you know what I've learned? I'm not going to sit and have a conversation with you and tell you about what's going on with me. I find joy in hearing what's going with you. And if I find that my ears are listening attentively, maybe I can offer words of encouragement. Or we can pray together, as Bob and I have done many times. I used to pray every time Bob and I got on a chairlift for chair ministry. And I always put the bar down because I knew once he started, we might get thrown off the chair and it's when we were up on the mountain. So the uniqueness of that song is we're required for that moment of time. Remember I told you just for those days for our kids, he's checking his list to see if we qualify for getting gifts under the tree. Jesus has the answer for us, the greatest gift of all. And you know, it's interesting. Jesus was hung on the tree, our hope, not in those gifts. He doesn't measure our good works. He was nailed to the cross for all our transgressions. And it's for everlasting life. We repent. We'll continue to sin. Sin no more, but you're repenting. Your conscience is at work. We'll always make a change. We'll attempt to make a change. Now, I want to go back to the beginning. I want to go back to the very beginning. Genesis 1, origin or beginning, right? That's what it means. The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living thing. Sometimes I question when I'm sitting here if we're all living things. This all started with our first relatives, Adam and Eve. Then along came the temptation, which started this path. There's a great question from this. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. A lot of people say, oh, it's Tahoe. I can tell you Tahoe's a garbage dump compared to that. To work it out and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from that, you will certainly die. You ever wonder why you die? This is my next message, but knowledge? You know, we're all out to try and gain more knowledge. Trust me, that's what got us in trouble. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, picking on the woman, right? Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you'll die. The Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? What is this you have done? Took the fruit? Well, the serpent deceived me and I ate of it. That's always our story. Always blame it on somebody. Have you eaten of the tree of which God commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman who gave you gave me to be with, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate it. So now he's blaming it on the woman. You got to remember, it wasn't the fruit, wasn't the apple in the tree that got us into the trouble. It was the pear on the ground. Okay? Yep, we're related to that pear on the ground. And this brings me to, and I've said this, Bob's probably heard this 100 times.
Tissues?
I need them. Thank you. See, I had hope that I was going to get a tissue. Came along. So Sam, my youngest daughter, she was 8 years old when she said it to me. She said, Dad, did you ever have a day without sin? You've heard this before. Day without sin. I said, yeah. And she looked at me with big eyes. And I said, yeah. Then I woke up. You got that. I'm glad you got that. I use that about 3 times a year. You know, it's funny. And she says, well, you were just talking about this last night. She came home from Idaho. And she said, what's a sinner look like, Dad? How can you tell a sinner? And I said, wait a second. She says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going to look in the mirror. See what a sinner looks like. Anyway, because sin had entered the world, God had taken on flesh. And that's what brought this all about. The man, and be born into the world and die. Be resurrected so we'd have the opportunity again to experience life eternally. God is gracious. You know, sometimes in the Old Testament it gets a bad rap about it's all murder. It's all, a lot of people won't even go through it. But God is gracious even after they have sinned. He's still gracious. It comes around. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was there in the beginning. And we have seen his glory as the Son, as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's a baby born of a virgin. That journey started about 4,000 years ago, actually. The prophet Isaiah, 794 years before the birth of Christ, gave him a sign. The virgin will conceive and be given birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And behold, this is what's stated, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in his kingdom there will be no end. That's us. That's all of us. Micah 5:2 tells us of the place. And that's about the same time frame. But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler. Ruler of all Israel. Ruler of our day. So how was this to happen? Luke 2:4-5. Luke chapter 2. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Again, that was prophesied almost 790 years before. And it's all fulfilled. Daniel 9:25 is fulfilled in Luke 2:1, the birth of Jesus Christ. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. The entire Roman world. God uses us as he used Caesar. Does that make sense to you? Caesar was part of it. To fulfill this prophecy, Caesar was part of it. You know, again, he might have got a bad rap, but the reality was Caesar fulfilled his plans so that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Joseph went up Galilee, the town of David, because that's where he belonged. That's where he belonged. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped in clothes, probably who knows what, in a feeding trough, in a manger that was common for the animals. Very little clean water or anything that existed. And the reason being, and this was by plan, there was no room because of the census, because of everybody being called back to their hometown. I often wonder what that would be like in Tahoe if everybody was called back. Think of your mom going back to Steubenville. That's terrible. We all went back. This place would be empty. It's amazing when you think about that. But that's what they did. You know what it was all about? The money. Now, the shepherds. You know what I like about the shepherds? You know, back in that time, there was formal education, there was school, there was training, or you would learn tutelage under your relatives. But I don't think anybody said, hey, I want to grow up and be a shepherd and live in the field with the sheep. Imagine, strong men, animals, you hear about lions and bears and whatever there might be at that time. And they're young. They're a group of young men. They didn't, like I said, they didn't want to grow up and aspire to be shepherds. They were living out in the field. They stayed there night and day, keeping watch over the flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone upon them. They were terrified. Think about it. Bears, animals, intruders, robbers, whatever it might be. This really had them shaken. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. This will cause great joy for all the people, even us. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. This will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And that's where they headed. They got up, left the heavenly host, which is God's army, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Heaven on earth, peace to those on whom he finds favor. Think about it. There they were, all of a sudden, how the motivation they had. And you got to realize, 400 years of nothing. And there they are. This is waited. And I'm sure there was doubt amongst them. The angels depart. They're heavenbound. The scepters said to one another, probably reluctantly in some cases, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing has happened, which the Lord had told them about. When they saw him, they spread the word about the child as they went throughout the community. They spread the word in amazement at what the shepherds said to them. Almost 2 years later, now what happens? Who comes along 2 years later? Now you hear about the wise men or the magi. They traveled about 800 miles, a month plus for the journey. And this is when Jesus is about, he would have been 2 years old. They came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? Keep in mind, they had an entourage. There was probably 300 people with them. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now, King Herod, he finds out about this. He was very disturbed. Why do you think he was disturbed? He wanted to go to Jerusalem. When he called together all the chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, how can this be the Messiah? He was born in Bethlehem in Judea? They replied, for this is what the prophets has written. Remember what I said about Bethlehem in the land of Judea. This is where he'll come from. Then Herod called the Magi secretly. You know, they had, I'm assuming they were financed for the travel, and he was definitely involved. The exact time of the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. He had no intention of worshiping him. If those of you remember what happens to all the two-year-olds, wow. They went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now he's in a house, a place of shelter. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. So we started this message with the fruit tree in the center of the garden and complete this night with the Christmas tree. My hope is from this point forward, our lives, our relationships take on a new meaning of our love for one another and our shared hope. And to me and to you, it's driven by our love for one another. We share things. We bring people to know Christ. And like I say, know Christ. That doesn't mean that that's the salvation. They have to accept it through Christ. But we do have a mission for everybody we come in contact with. And I know I've walked away of some situations that I should have said something. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen. It's easy to forget. Let's not lose sight of God's goodness and what he's provided for us. We're all going to have troubles. We're all going to have things that take place in our lives. You know, when I went through this most recent experience, I got to tell you, it woke me up and everything looked so vivid. And I even in the care centers, in the facilities I've been in, I can remember talking to my oncologist, Dr. LaGarza, and she said, you know, you can extend life by taking this medication. And I said, well, what's that going to do? She says, well, it'll buy you a little more time. And I says, I'm about quality of life. And she says, well, I said, what's the worst case scenario that can happen to me? She says, Jeff, you could die. I says, that's pretty cool. I says, you're going to die too. I sat there. I says, she looked at me and I says, you're going to die too. Where are you going? She didn't know what to say. I says, yeah. I says, that's right. I says, God's will be done in my life. I says, man, what would it be so cool? I says, I'm not worried about that. And she says, you're not worried. I says, well, what do you attribute that to? Jesus Christ? She said, no, you're crazy. I said, I says, you're crazy. But anyway, that's what takes place. We have these opportunities. You know, don't don't lose sight of what this means to all of us. Don't lose sight. One of the verses I had taken that I like, Romans 5:4-5, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When I look at the kids up here, Brooklyn, Mercy, Benji, and Gracie, I mean, it's amazing to see what's taking place. Amazing what the children, and there's a time where we'll look and say, oh, there's no kids around here, there's no youth. But God has a plan in everything we do. There's youth. And he's using people within this body that he touches upon them to do the programs, to run with the kids, the passion and the love. Awana, man, it's just like an open door. It's just amazing what's happening. And it's not because of Kevin. It's not because of Bob. It's not because of me or anybody else. It's Christ. Christ alone. And it's just awesome to watch. And as I said, our character produces the hope. Hope does not put us in shame. Don't ever be ashamed of what lies ahead, what God has poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit and gives us an opportunity to do. You know, now tonight, if you decide to come, we have a little bit of a twist, and I kind of like it. Tonight we won't ask for an offering, but we're going to have something very, very special for you in the place of an offering. So I do hope that you can come and join us. And not only tonight, I mean, I look around and a lot of you make this a home, and a lot of you are traveling from somewhere else and you have your fellowship in another, you know, another facility, a church. But we're one. We're followers of Christ. We're one in the family. And it's so awesome to see that. And when we leave here, wherever we go, let us reflect that, what Christ has given for us and what this birth means for us. You know, when he comes the next time, it's not going to be in a manger. And we better be prepared. So I asked, as you leave, you depart, I always ask for you to come back tonight, but let this stay with you. Let the message stay with you. Let the hope be there. Is it unseen? Yes. But God has a plan. And I got to tell you, as you look around globally and see what's happening, nationally and see what's happening, in our county and you see what is happening, things are changing. And it's dramatic what's taking place everywhere. And it's for us not to turn our head to the wall and stare at it. Somebody always try to bring a little shame into you about your faith. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen, because as we continue, it seems that it gets more crushed, more pressure. Stay in touch with one another. And don't try to be like I've been sometimes. I remember when I went to Houston for Harvey, I was sort of, what was I? Not a rebel, but I was self-contained with the tools, and I didn't work with anybody. And it definitely took a toll. You know, it took a toll on me and what was going through my head. So be there, fellowship, talk to somebody, pray with somebody. You know, as I stayed and I go back to what I've gone through, Dr. LaGarza said, this would be short of a miracle. I said, it's not a miracle. I says, I got a ton of people praying for me. I said, it's not a miracle at all. It's whatever God has planned, his will be done. Man, I appreciate y'all. Pretty awesome group. And the music, like I said, was that phenomenal. And tonight, in fact, I think I'll sell tickets. We won't even take a collection. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this group that's gathered here, Lord God. As we go out the doors and reflect on what's being said and what the scriptures talk to us, they speak volumes. The gospels speak volumes. The whole book. I mean, to hear Gracie and
the kids recite the books of the Bible, I was like, I can't do that. Lord, I just thank you for what's going on here. I thank you for the lives we'll reach, the people we'll touch, our relatives and families and friends. Thank you for the opportunity we have because we are so blessed. In your name we pray, amen.